The Book of Hebrews, part 260. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yehoshua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of my books which I've written, maybe the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, which I have copyright and marketing rights and all the rights that I obtained from the Americans a couple of years ago, that should you be interested in obtaining a restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the one that was translated by Dr. Joseph Briant Rotzenham in 1860, the best Hebrew stroke English Bible you can lay your hands on. I have a couple of copies. You can contact me at my WhatsApp number. It's international for South Africa. The code is +27. The number is 0722-367-124. Or just go to my website, https://yahvah, all small letters continuously, .co.za, as you can see on the right hand top here. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, you are so very welcome. Please go to part 1, start from the beginning, because you've missed out on quite a bit of information. It is very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications of all the other studies that we are currently busy with. Please share this link with your friends and family and for those that you are dear to you. Make sure you please have a 1611 King James Bible pen and notepad ready. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a privilege. I just want to use the opportunity, being the first message that is preached for 2026. May Yahweh bless you in this new year abundantly. Now, I did do New Year wishes yesterday morning. So today, I just want to say blessings upon blessings upon blessings. Whatever that needs, that blessings need to be what you desire from Yahweh, let it be as you believe. We are busy with Hebrews chapter 11, Jude 1 verse 14. Now we are going to carry on with Jude 1 verse 15. Now I've got to start with the scripture, because we stopped the day before, we stopped with in the middle of the scripture because of time. To execute judgment upon all, this referred to the white throne judgment, meaning that the saints is the bride of Yehoshua that we have agreed on. What did Enoch knew about Yehoshua and a gentle bride? That Yehoshua will gather for himself. Nothing. Now I'm carrying on in the scripture. And to convince all that are ungodly among them, and of all the ungodliness these. Now when I look at this, you must remember, who is writing this passage? The Apostle Jude. He's writing it. So when he says that are ungodly amongst them, it's not really referring to in the time of Enoch. He was writing about the things in his time. And all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, all their hard speeches which the ungodly sinners have spoken against him, that he must be a capital H. That is the Father. Now I'm commencing. There is no Old Testament document in the book of Genesis to prove that these which Jude is writing about could have been possibly said. Impossible. Because Enoch didn't know about a bride. Enoch didn't know anything about saints. Enoch didn't know anything about angels. This, that is what was written in the book Enoch, was written by the Freemasons in the 16th century and 17th century. But Enoch didn't know anything about Yahushua returning with the saints. Nothing. You can just think it for yourself. Now it says here, there is no Old Testament documentation or we would say manuscripts in about the book of Genesis to prove the things which Jude is writing about could have been possible. Why? Because the only judgment which is referred in the book of Genesis is the great flood of drowning for everyone in the time of Noah, not being inside the ark. And that is Noah's ark. Now I'm saying, but here we do not find any angels coming with Yahushua. In the time of Noah, that had nothing to do with angels. It's nothing to do with Yahushua. Those peoples in that time didn't even knew rain. And that's why they couldn't believe Noah when he was preaching about the earth that will be drowned in water coming from rain. It was just to them unimaginable. Not understanding even the terminology called rain. Jude 1 verse 16, there are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men persons in admiration because advantage. But this is the things that happened in the time of Jude 2000 years ago. But now it seems like as if it was in the time of Enoch. What does this prove? It shows that Enoch lived before the flood of Enoch, and he also preached to the generations about sin. Yeah, it's possible that he could have preached to the generations about sin. But there's no other scriptures that says he did. Not in Genesis. The nearest we find to this is Noah preaching unto the lost, calling them to repent. We must also just remember that the fact that Enoch did not have 613 laws like Moses had. Why not? It was a very primitive time. Again, we must remember, when was the information about Enoch written about the first time? Well, 3,000 years later. Well, actually more than 3,000 years later. Then Moses wrote about the creation. Moses wrote about the Torah books, the Pentateuch books, the first five books of the Old Testament. Moses wrote it. But he lived 3,000 years further from the book Genesis, where the creation started in Genesis 1. Seven generations later, speaking about Enoch. So can you start to see the influence of people in the Bible? And that comes with reviewing. Reviewing, reviewing, review. That's why I hate reviewing Bibles. Now we must not forget that in the time of Enoch was a very primitive time. They didn't even have alphabet to write. Not if I think about the Egyptians that also came centuries, millenniums after Enoch, and they even had tablets. So what type of alphabet did Enoch had? You see, this is things that we don't think about when Bible study is done. What must be remembered is the fact that Enoch did not have 613 laws like Moses. Why? It was a time of being very primitive. Jude 1 verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles? Now suddenly we get the picture. The Jude is talking to the people 2,000 years ago. And in speaking to them, what was his knowledge about Enoch? It was a very small point, something. What knowledge did he have 2,000 years ago about Enoch? He says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? Listen what he says. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is in 16:11. Now this creates, if somebody doesn't know what I've been teaching you this last month, they will be thinking that Enoch spoke about Yahushua and his apostles. Why? Because it's in the phrase that the apostle Jude is writing it. And it's not. I mean, Enoch didn't have the clue about Yahushua or the apostles. But Jude did. Apostle Jude. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of Yahushua. What? In the time of Enoch? What did he knew about the apostles or Yahushua? Nothing. Verse 18. He says, how that they told you, that's Enoch, there should be mockers in the last time, which is the end time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Now, Enoch is speaking as if he's speaking on behalf of, Jude is speaking as if he is speaking on behalf of Enoch. Again, we need to study certain scriptures that reveal the truth about what has been said and done. And that's why I use confirmation scriptures upon confirmation scriptures. Because that's why I'm an eschatologist. It's not being eschatologist just today, yesterday, and tomorrow. It is millions of years backwards and years forwards. Being living in the time where we are living right now. The first day of 2026. Now I say here, again we need to study certain scriptures what will reveal the truth about what was said and done. And I want to say, if you have any seatbelts, it's the time to use them right now. Because in this next couple of hours of studying, your mouth will just fall open, or you will drop from your chair in amazement. Understanding that we can't take certain scriptures, one in Genesis, one in Apostle Paul's writings, one in Jews' writings, and now we're going to use Matthew, and then suddenly we have a theology. A theology and a dogma teaching that Enoch was drawn into heaven alive. Only because Genesis 5 says, and he was no more. He walked with God, or Yahweh. I don't like the word God. He walked with Yahweh Almighty, and he was no more. He was a prophet, like a gramophone record that's playing on the same mode, same. No! It's impossible to say that anybody that's no more has been raptured into heaven alive. There's no indication. There's no scripture to confirm it. He was just no more. Meaning, he died. And his place was empty. I'm going to start with Genesis 17, verse 1 to 23. Matthew 17, verse 1 to 23. Time has caught up with us, so what I want us to do for homework, you take Matthew 17, verse 1 to 23. You can read on further if you want to. But go and sit, having the insight that you have now, having the knowledge of the revelation word about Enoch and the different writers up till now, understanding what I have been teaching and preaching up till now. Combine that knowledge with Matthew 17 verse 1 to 23 and see if you can work this one out for yourself. Now, yeah, time has caught up with us. Let us enjoy this New Year's Day in the expectation that we are coming nearer to the time that the final covenant will be signed, and that will trigger the coming of Yahushua. Let's be full-blooded Yahvists over this weekend, and let's preach and teach the word and live the word. Till Monday, if His Father's will, Maranatha. Yahushua is coming back again. Hallelujah.